If you would, turn with me to Acts chapter 12, if you're not already there. Acts chapter 12, verses, and we'll be looking at verses 1 to 24, which is basically the entirety of the chapter. But as you're turning there, I just want to say one thing to you, and it's something that was quite a paradigm shift for me when it was pointed out about the book of Acts, and it's to highlight something from Acts chapter 1, verse 1. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, we see that Luke tells Theophilus that he had written to him previously about those things, that is, in the Gospel of Luke, he wrote to Theophilus about those things which Jesus began to do and to teach. And so, what does that mean the book of Acts is? Most ultimately, the book of Acts is about those things which Jesus was continuing to do. So you see, the book of Acts is not ultimately the Acts of the Apostles, but it's the Acts of the ascended Christ. And so it's that I want you to keep an eye on as we read through our passage tonight. And really, whenever you read the book of Acts, is that behind every event and behind every word in the book of Acts stands the Lord of history, the Lord Jesus Christ, directing every event and inspiring every word. So with that, let's pay attention now. These words are truth, and so give them your full attention. Acts chapter 12. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Now when Herod was about to bring him out, on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up, quickly." And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and he did not know what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. And when they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city, and it opened for them of its own accord. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. And when Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod, and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Recognizing Peter's voice, in her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. And they said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so. And they kept saying, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Tell these things to James and to the brothers." And then he departed and went to another place. Now when day came, there was no little disturbance among the soldiers over what had become of Peter. And after Herod searched for him and did not find him, he examined the sentries in order that they should be put to death. And then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and spent time there. Now Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord. And having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they asked for peace, because their country depended on the king's country for food. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him down, because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. But the word of God increased and multiplied. Now tonight, we're going to talk about patterns. And before you all check out on me and fall asleep, stay with me for just a little bit. I want to quickly define for you what we mean by a pattern. And it's a simple, perhaps insufficient, but a simple definition. And a pattern is basically a repeated or regular, or repeated and regular way in which something happens, or in which, or by which someone does something. And because they're repeated, and because they're regular, patterns are noticeable. And so when we come to our text tonight, we're going to notice a pattern. We're going to notice a pattern, and it's a pattern I want to call the 3D pattern. The 3D pattern, that pattern of death, deliverance, and destiny. And when we come to our text, we're going to see that pattern. In verses 1 through 6, we're going to see death. In verses 7 to 17, deliverance. And in verses 18 to 24, destiny. And the other important thing to note before we get started about biblical patterns is something that Pastor Jeff reminded us of last week. And it's that biblical patterns, or this pattern we're going to talk about of death, deliverance, and destiny, biblical patterns are not merely cyclical, just repeating ad nauseum over and over, but biblical patterns are more like a spiral. So as we see these patterns, we have hope, because these patterns, as they unfold, are moving towards an end, towards a consummation point. And so when we see these patterns, we can take hope, because we see the beginning, if you will, from the end. And so the exhortation from our text tonight is in the midst kind of a chaotic world, a world that becomes more and more chaotic every day, that we can take hope in God's redemptive patterns. And so tonight, the call is going to be to always remember the pattern and always look to the Lord of the pattern. And now before we jump in to our text, we need to go back to Egypt, back to the book of Exodus. And we're actually going to spend a few minutes there, but it's going to be an important few minutes. It's because we're going to develop this pattern in the book of Exodus. And the details that I'm going to highlight for you in the Exodus, we're going to see in Acts chapter 12. And so when we see these connections, what we'll see from that is that this is not a pattern being imposed on the text, but this 3D pattern of death, deliverance, and destiny indeed arises from the text. So come back with me to Egypt for a minute, to the book of Exodus. And before we even jump into that, I want to highlight one important piece of background information for you, or a couple, and it's about Pharaoh. And first off, you need to know that Pharaoh thought of himself as divine. Pharaoh saw himself as a god and not as a man. And the second thing is that Old Testament scholars and archaeologists have uncovered ancient Egyptian texts which describe Pharaoh's power over his enemies with expressions like Pharaoh had a strong hand. Or when Pharaoh destroyed his enemies, he did so by stretching forth his hand. And so Pharaoh's destructive power was symbolized by the stretching forth of his hand. And so as we come to the first part of our pattern, death, we see Pharaoh doing just that in Exodus chapter 1 when he commands the slaughter, commands the death of all of the male Israelite babies, and he continues to further and further oppress the people of God and bring them into more severe bondage. And so what we see is Pharaoh stretching forth his hand, if you will, and bringing upon God's people death and bondage. Pharaoh stretches forth his hand and brings death and bondage. And so we see the first part of our pattern in the Exodus, death. But then after death, we have deliverance. And as Israel was on the eve of their deliverance from the house of death and bondage, the Passover was instituted. The Passover was instituted, and Israel was commanded to eat the Passover in haste, to be ready to gird or to dress themselves and to put on their sandals. And then in the darkness of the night, they were commanded to rise and to get out, to go out from Egypt. And we read later that it was the angel of the Lord who led them out as a pillar of fire by night. Do you see that? The angel of the Lord was as light in the night. So into darkness, into the house of bondage, shone a light. And the angel of the Lord led them out. And as they went out from Egypt, they came then to where? The Red Sea. And when it appeared for a moment that their deliverance would be hindered, that it could be ruined, the Lord parted the sea. He opened the sea for them, and they went across on dry land. And so you see, we've moved from death to deliverance, and then what of destiny? Well, as Israel crossed through and as they stood on the other side, the Lord commanded Moses, to stretch forth his hand, and then judgment fell. Destruction fell, and Pharaoh, the man who had exalted himself as a god and not as a man, the man who had stretched forth his hand and brought death and bondage upon the people of God, was struck down and judged, and God's people continued on. And by the power of His Word, He brought them into the promised land. And so we see the pattern reached completion. Death to deliverance and to destiny. And then behind the pattern, we see the Lord of the pattern. For in Exodus chapter 9, what does it say? But it was the Lord who raised Pharaoh up. In Exodus 3 and in Exodus 7, we read that it was the Lord who stretched forth His mighty hand to deliver His people from Egypt. And then we know, as we just read, it was the Lord. It wasn't the mighty hand of Moses, but it was the Lord who stretched forth His hand and struck down His enemies and who brought His people into the promised land. So in the Old Testament, in Exodus, we see the preeminent example of this 3D pattern. And now we'll come to our text. In verses 1 to 6, we'll see death. And in verse 1, you'll notice, about that time Herod the king laid violent hands on some. It could be translated there, and it is in some translations, that Herod stretched forth his hand. And what did he do? He kills the apostle James. He brings death. And he sees that it pleases the Jews. Herod, the wicked man-pleaser that he was, sees that it pleased the Jews, and so he proceeded further to arrest Peter, to bring Peter into bondage. But what's the text say? That it was the time of the Passover. The Passover was at hand. And so this saved Peter for the moment. He couldn't kill him, but he put Peter into bondage. And so what we see is that that Herod brought death and bondage upon the people. And so, like in the Exodus, we see death and bondage. Except the irony now is that Herod is the new Pharaoh, and Israel has become the house of bondage. So we see the first part of our pattern, death. And then we move from death to deliverance. As we come to verses 7 to 17... we see that Peter is in the house of bondage. And we see that into the house of bondage then shone a light. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. And so into the darkness, into the prison, into the house of bondage, came an angel of the Lord, just like in the Exodus, into the darkness shone a light. And an angel came to Peter. And what does he say to him? The angel said to Peter, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." Dress yourself and put on your sandals. You remember hearing that language in the Exodus on the eve of the Passover. The Israelites were commanded to gird themselves and to put on their sandals. So you see, Peter's exodus, his deliverance was at hand. And as Peter was commanded to go out, and as he went out, what does it say that he did? But he came to an iron gate. And as he comes to the gate, as he passed the first and the second guard, he comes to the gate. And it seems that Peter's deliverance, Peter's exodus, might be at risk of failure. What does the gate do? The gate, the iron gate before him, in the Greek it says it's automate. It opened automatically before him of its own accord. And kids, you can relate with what Peter would have been feeling at this moment, because you've been to the grocery store with your parents, and as you come up to the door, what's it do? It opens automate. It opens automatically. And so you see, that's what Peter saw. The gate opened before Peter, just as the sea had been parted before the Israelites and they crossed through on dry land. So Peter was brought out of the house of bondage and went through the iron gate and passed through to the other side. And then verses 13 to 17, we get kind of an extension of this deliverance pattern. And Peter, after his deliverance, he shows up to these disciples and he appears to them. And it's interesting to note their reaction. They react with joy and gladness. They're amazed. But many are slow to believe. And Peter declares to them this great deliverance. And then he commissions them to tell others about it. And then he departs. And then he departs. And so again, like Exodus, the pattern continued. We see death and bondage to deliverance. And now we turn to destiny. Jump over or jump down with me to verses 21 and 22. And you'll see that on an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes and took his seat upon the throne and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, "The voice of a God and not of a man." And Josephus actually records this event for us. And he notes that Herod's robe was lined with silver lining. So you can just imagine the sight of Herod standing before the people in the sun shining and glimmering and giving this oration to them. And they shout, "The voice of a God and not of a man." They were worshiping Herod as divine. And Herod loved it, because Herod, like Pharaoh, thought of himself as a god and not as a man. In verses 23 and 24, we see that immediately an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory. And he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. But the word of God increased and multiplied. And so Herod, like Pharaoh, was struck down by the Lord. By the Lord of the pattern. Struck down his enemies. And then it says, but the word of God increased and multiplied. By the power of the word, God's purposes, God's people continued on. And so our pattern, very briefly, we see though that in Acts chapter 12 it reaches completion. We've moved from death and bondage brought about by Herod in verses 1 through 6. To Peter's deliverance, to Peter's exodus in verses 7 to 17. And then we see destiny in verses 18 to 24. But behind it all, just like we saw in the Exodus, we see the Lord of the pattern. And that's why I wanted to highlight for you Acts chapter 1, verse 1. It's behind every event, every word we see in our text stands the Lord of the pattern. And so just like the Lord raised up Pharaoh, so too we must acknowledge that he is the one who raised up Herod, and that Herod could have had no power to do what he was doing except it had been given to him from above. But where else do we see the Lord of the pattern in our text? Look with me at verse 4. Look with me at verse 4. And when he, that is Herod, and when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to 4 squads of soldiers to guard him. So what's going on there is Herod had set watchmen. Herod had set watchmen over the apostle Peter. Now I want you to listen to something with me. This comes from Isaiah 66, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7. This is the Lord speaking. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen. All the day and all the night, they shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest and give Him no rest until He establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth. So who are the Lord's watchmen in Isaiah 62? It's the church in prayer. It's believers in prayer. And they are to take no rest and give no rest to the Lord until He brings about His promised deliverance. And so you see it, right? You see that the irony, Herod had set his watchmen over the apostle Peter. But little did he know that the Lord of the pattern, the Lord Jesus Christ, had set his watchmen over Peter. And they were giving the Lord no rest. They were crying out to the Lord to bring about the pattern, to deliver Peter from death. And then in verse 11, we see that Peter acknowledges that it was not the angel that delivered him, but his salvation was in fact of the Lord alone. And then what about this stuff about Herod being eaten by worms? What are we to see in that? Well, remember the Lord's words in Mark chapter 9, verses 44 and following. What does He say when He speaks of hell? What does He say that hell is? It is the place where the worm never dies and where the fire is never quenched. And so what we see is that in the way that the Lord judged Herod and in the way that He records it, what He's doing is anticipating that final judgment which will be brought upon all who exalt themselves against Christ. That final judgment which will fall upon the seed of the serpent, which is that eternal judgment of flame and worm which will never die. And yet all those who are in Christ will continue on and enter into the new heavens and into the new earth. And so these two patterns, this 3D pattern in the book of Exodus, and this pattern of death and deliverance and destiny which we see the Lord working in the early church, these patterns are merely, we could call them, lowercase p patterns. They're merely lowercase p patterns because they are patterned after the capital P pattern. That is, they are patterned after the original pattern, the archetypal pattern, that pattern of Christ Himself, that pattern of the death and the deliverance and the destiny of the Son of God. And it was this pattern, this eternal pattern, which God had determined from all eternity to be that pattern by which He would glorify Himself and by which He would save His people. And in the fullness of time, then, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of the pattern, came into history to fulfill the pattern. And He died. He took death for your sins. And then He went to the grave where He lay in bondage to death for 3 days. And then in the darkness of that tomb, the One who is the light shone forth and He rose. And as He went to go out of that tomb, that stone rolled back from before Him and He came out of that tomb and He appeared to His disciples. And they responded with joy and with gladness, and they were astonished. And yet many were slow to believe. And then he declared to them his great deliverance. And he commissioned them to go and tell others about it. And then he departed and he went to another place. But that other place where he went was his ascension into heaven. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ who is now seated and reigning in heaven, who continues to direct all of redemptive history according to this 3D pattern. And every one of you tonight who have put your trust in Christ are attestation to this pattern, because He has delivered you from your death to sin. He has delivered you from bondage, not from any physical pattern, and He has not delivered you from any mere man, but from the greater Herod and the greater Pharaoh and the greater bondage, which is to Satan and sin and death itself. The Lord has brought you out, and He promises you that soon, brothers and sisters, soon He will bring all things to an end. And as Paul tells us in Romans 16:20, He will soon crush Satan under your feet. And so this pattern of death and deliverance and destiny needs to be a pattern of encouragement to you as we look forward to the end. And so as we go forward in this life, again, that seems to be increasing in chaos day by day, take comfort in the pattern and take hope in the pattern. And always remember the pattern. And more importantly than that, look to the Lord of the pattern. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we do thank You. We thank You for the glories and the treasures of Your Word. And we thank You that You work history in such a way that we can notice patterns, that we can take comfort in You who work all things for good, for those who love You, and for those whom You have called to conform us to the image of Christ. And Lord, we pray that this night would have been a means to that end, to grow us in the faith. And we pray for Your blessing on it, and we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. We'll respond to the Lord as we normally do in the evenings with Psalm 133, Selection A, as we continue to sing these words until we are all able to gather back together again. So let's sing Psalm 133A, and then Pastor Jeff will come up and give the benediction.
Blessing of our God. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.